This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
And I think it's a good thing we're having this conversation with just an hour to go before lunchtime for many people, you know, just to whet our appetite. And I know I've said on the show before, and I remember a listener saying, did Lerato just say she hates cooking? I really do. I don't like cooking. The kitchen is not my most favorite place, you know. But when I do cook, lalela, I make a mean curry. Ngege, can't touch me. I love it. I love Owen. It's like, you're just talking. We must taste it. But, oh, Owen, touche. But honestly, I make a mean curry. And the reason is this, you know, just the aroma of those spices, the fragrances of those spices coming together, infusing with the meat. I mean, there's nothing like it. And I think it's an important thing to remember. The building blocks of a great meal is in the combination of spices and how you cook them through. And that's why today in our Entrepreneurial Edge, we are speaking to the founder and CEO of the Sharjah Food Company, Ngwako Sibolo. Because, you know, we talk about soul food, but can soul food be elevated next level with the combination of distinct, fragrant, aromatic spices to just tickle the palate? Ngwako Sibolo, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Right, so any delicious meal is going to be made by the combination of spices, and spices that are cooked through properly. True or false?
True.
Mm-hmm. So what is the Sharjah Food Company? Because I thought Sharjah was the third largest city in the UAE.
Yeah, it is actually. But now you have to go behind the meaning of Sharjah itself. What is the meaning behind Sharjah? You know? Yes, it means that the new dawn, you know, the coming of new things, you know. So that's why I derived, or that's why I chose the name Sharjah. Because for me at the point of the name, it was the coming of new things that I wanted to bring into the food industry as a whole, you know.
So Sharjah in Arabic is what you're saying means new things, a new dawn.
A new dawn, new things, better things to come. Yes, it
I
means
see.
That.
I did not know that. Okay, so that city means new city, new dawn.
Correct.
So in South Africa, are we in a Sharjah or what?
No, that's a difficult one, honestly. That's a difficult one.
I'm just being facetious. Okay, so why was this a new era in your life, starting this business?
I mean, like, for me, it was a point where, honestly speaking, I was at my end, you know. I was at my end, I was at my bottom, and I needed something new. I needed something that can reactivate me, you know, something that can give me meaning and purpose. And since then, this is what kept me going until now.
If I may pry, you don't have to answer. Mm-hmm. What was going on in your life for you to just say, do you know what? I need something brand new. I need a new perspective. I need fresh air. What was happening?
I was basically broke. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a purpose. And I just woke up and I didn't know where I was heading. That was me back then.
And so you had it in your mind to start a food business?
I wanted to start something. And when I looked, that was the only thing that I could start at the point in time where I was like, you know what? I have a sauce which it's always been made at home. Let me just try this out. And when I did that, I actually started with like 6 bottles, smaller than a bottles. And then when I sold them, I was like, okay, this is working. And I bought more and I sold, and that was working. That's how I gradually got my momentum.
Okay. So basically you had a hobby is what you're saying, which was to make delicious sauces. When you're cooking, you'd bottle them, you'd use them for yourself. And you looked up in your pantry and you said, you know what? I have a talent here. I have a product. Let me see if I can roll it out into the market.
Correct. Definitely correct.
Okay. So tell us about your sauces.
I do various of sauces, but with this specific one called the Mayo Peri, it's basically a cream mayo based sauce where I mix various spices into it and to make this to get this perfect tanginess, this perfect spicy, meatish taste that I wanted, whether I make it hot or I make it a little bit spicy or I make it a little bit, you know, I always play around with it. But with this specific one, I loved it because of the creaminess. Back then, there was no creamy hot sauce. So I always used to, I could even now, I just can't understand mayo without the hotness or the spiciness in it. So I always used to mix my mayo with a couple of spices to just make that perfect sauce for me.
Okay, so you like, so your sauces are creamy at the base, but spicy at the taste.
Correct, spicy and tangy.
I see. Okay, and so tell me about your palate, because when you started experimenting and creating the sauce, before you even rolled it out into the market, what kind of food do you like to eat?
I'm a very moody person, so today I can wake up feeling like pap and mukhodi, but tomorrow I can wake up feeling like rice and mincemeat, you know,
okay,
or rice and tin fish. So especially with my pasta dishes, my rice dishes, I prefer using the sauce with those kind of dishes, you know.
Just to add another dimension to them.
Correct.
So
I'm the kind of, okay.
No, so go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that I'm the kind of person that will prefer the sweetness in the food, but also the spiciness and the tangy and the tanginess in the food.
Okay, so you're sweet and spicy. That's you. That's your personality.
I'm very mixed. I'm very, like, very, very mixed.
I see. But it also seems to me like you're somebody who has a good time in the kitchen. You're constantly experimenting. And so this is why, after a while, you developed an inquisitive mind, an inquisitive palate.
True that. True that. I am that person, especially when I'm stressed. I cook most of the time, actually.
Okay. So what's your favorite meal to cook for you then to add your special sauce?
For me, truly speaking, is rice and tin fish.
Titomboeni.
Rice and tin fish, I'll go with my extra hot. But when I want to do my chicken salad, a chicken sandwich, then I'll use my mild flavor, because the mild, I made it to be more of a salad dressing than a sauce.
So your tin fish and rice, is it a very spicy dish? Is it like a curry tin fish?
No, actually my tin fish is tomato, but my sauce will be the hottest, you know, then I use my extra hot mayo peri in it.
Okay. So you missed it when I said, so you and Tito Mboweni are the same person, because that's his favorite meal.
No, actually when you said that, I was just imagining Tito Mboweni's dish, and I just can't put mine and him together. No, I can't.
No,
no, no, no.
Okay, so how many variations of your sauce are there? Because you're saying you can move from mild to very hot. So what kinds of sauces are we likely to find at Sharjah Food?
I have a lot of sauces, truly speaking, that I would love to take out there, but unfortunately, we all have to start somewhere. So currently, the one that I'm retailing, that you can find at your local Pick and Pay and ShopRite and whoever, is the mayo peri sauce, which comes in three variants, the mild, the hot, and the extra hot.
Mayo peri. So mayo for the mayonnaise inside, the peri for the spice inside.
Correct.
Okay, do you also make stuff like a relish? If you're somebody who enjoys spice, do you also make achas, chakalakas, those sorts of things?
Yes, I do have a relish, but not acha, not chakalaka. But I do have a relish which I make. It will depend on order, because I also deliver to your restaurants and stuff like that. So there are some products that I'm making where someone will say, make me your relish, and I'll make it in maybe a 5-liter packet and go deliver it.
So those custom-made requests.
Correct.
Okay, so tell us a little bit, without, you know, divulging your recipe. So what does your chakalaka look like? You know what? Not even look like. What's in it?
You're definitely going to find your chili in it.
Okay.
Actually, it's not a chakalaka. It's more of a relish than a chakalaka, but you'll find your chili in it. You'll find your carrots in it. You'll find your greens in it. You know, the list goes on. You'll find a lot of things in it, actually.
Because I've always wondered, you know, with the relish. You know, some relishes are made of tomato, onion, and the, you know, and the jalapeno peppers or the chili.
Mm-hmm.
Other relishes, people then start to add the mango. And I think this is when we're moving in the acha side. So pickled fruit. Other relishes then go for pickled vegetables. So there's different ways to make a relish.
different ways, different dynamics, different communities and crowds. So you honestly wouldn't want to make something that's going to be too expensive for a cast, you know?
Mm-mm-mm.
So I think even the market that you are dealing with is going to determine the kind of product that you're going to produce at the end of the day. Because I've had instances where, for me, I thought this was great. But my way to fake cars, guys, I'm selling this, it's just too expensive, you know?
Okay.
Yeah,
so market development becomes a real issue. You've got to kind of trial a market before you know what you're preparing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about that in just a short while. We're in conversation with Nwakwo Sebola, who is the founder and CEO of Sharjah Food. Sharjah in Arabic, meaning a new era, a change. We learn something new every day on the show.
Speak up. Call the power line on 0861-987-000.
Okay, are you that person who enjoys your condiments? You have a meal, but you always have to have a side of chili or some kind of a sauce, you know, a little bit of sweetness here, a little tang there, a little bit of spice there. Then Sharjah Food Company might be exactly what you want to find out about, because Nwakwo Sebola is the founder and CEO of this business, which makes all sorts of condiments ranging from the mild to the extra hot. At the base is a cream of sorts, a mayo of sorts, just to soften the blow, some people would say. Nwakwo, do you know in Indian cooking, they make their curries the way they make them? You know, you do the spice mix and then you add your meat and then, you know, you let the thing simmer over time. But what they then do at the end is they put a dollop of yogurt in that chicken, because the yogurt softens the blow of the heat of the curry. And as you're talking about the mayo adding a sweetness, I'm thinking that's exactly what inspires Indian cooking. Do you cook any Indian food?
No, not really. I don't cook any Indian food, but I know why they would add a yogurt inside inside the mix, yes.
Because? Is it to soften the blow?
It is to soften the blow, because chili inside a mayo or inside a yogurt or inside a cream-based product, it doesn't really become that aggressive. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Yeah. So it doesn't become, it does do what you say, actually, to soften the blow. It doesn't really become that extreme.
It doesn't burn your tongue. Have you ever had have you ever had a meal and the chili, when it just hits you, it just feels like an attack and a slow release attack? Because it just keeps hurting you every 5 seconds.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true that. And there are some people who actually are not comfortable with eating such. Eh? Yeah, some people will tell you, especially when we do our events or promos, they will tell you that I prefer these kind of sauces because I don't like your aggressive kind of sauces where, you know, my whole mouth or my whole tongue is just on fire. Yeah. You know, some people don't really prefer those kind of things.
And also what it does do when you eat a chili that's raw in that way, or aggressive, I like that term, is it kills your taste buds so that you can't even taste anything else after that.
Yeah, I think it differs from person to person, because some people actually love that. I don't know if it's an addiction or what, but some people actually prefer those kind of chilies. Eh? But for me personally, I wouldn't. I once tried that and No, it doesn't work with me. Because now for the next hour or two, I can't taste anything. I can't feel anything inside my mouth, you know?
Okay. It does sound to me like you've got a fairly developed palate. Would that be fair to say? Like, you've really sampled many different cuisines and you've really discovered what pairs well with something else, complementarity in the food. And that's how you're making your sauces, because you've sat down in the kitchen for a while and figured some things out.
Yeah, I wouldn't take it that far, but yes, I am. I am a very sensitive person, actually, and I'm very conscious of the food that I eat. Like, in terms of chili, like, I think for the other person, before I'll actually want to package something, I'll be like, if the next person is going to eat this, will they really love it as much or understand it as much as I do, you know? So you don't want to put something that's over than all for the sake of making money or just getting rid of it. Doesn't make sense to me. So whenever you do something, you should say that, is Lerato going to enjoy this when she eats it? You know,
it's a very important thing. Think of the customer first, not yourself.
Correct.
Think of the customer. Okay, correct. And that leads us to the question on market development, right? Because you've got a product, mm-hmm. but you've got to know whether your product is going to hit the right notes with the market. So, you know, your mother and your sister and your girlfriend or boyfriend would say, this is a great product. It doesn't mean it's going to sell. So how do you go about testing your product in the market to decide what to roll out first?
I can say attend events and do promos, give away samples if ever you have enough budget to do that. Mm. That way, when you attend your food events or your promos, then that way a customer will come and tell you straight up that, you know what, it's not hot or I don't like it, you know, or change this. You can even ask them advice that what can I do? They'll tell you that, no, add a little bit of sugar or a little bit of salt or give away free samples and just ask. You have that database of people that, you know what, I gave 10 people at school or at wherever samples and I want feedback. Guys, how does it taste? Give me the truth. Is it negative, positive? What can I improve? What can I change? And still after that, doesn't mean that your product is going to be 100%. Yeah. It doesn't.
So when you've done that and you have focus grouped, as it were, and checked with the customers what they might enjoy, where the improvements are, what's the best advice you were ever given?
I think the reason I have three variants is that I found that I have two groups. Some will say it's too hot, and some will say they love the tanginess, they love the creaminess.
Yeah.
The other one was just too hot. The other one was just too low. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I think I can't really go for one product because I'm going to lose these customers.
Mm.
That's hence I had three variants. So I ended up having three variants in terms of I wanted to have my mild for Abu Koko, Abafuni, Zintazokbaba. For some people, generally don't want hot things. Then I had the extra hot for the guys who say, you know what, I grew up with chili and this is nothing. Then I'll have the extra hot for them. Then I'll still have that hot in between that can accommodate whoever wants a little bit of both, you know?
Okay, yeah. So the data matters because that's like data mining. You're trying to figure out what appeals to your market. What is the worst advice, Ngwako, you ever received? And maybe not the worst advice, the most critical thing somebody once said about your product.
I think for me, it was someone once said, it's not nice. You know, nah, I've tasted it. This is not nice. And even up to today, I still remember those. You know, it was a lady, actually. You know, she said that. And even today, I still remember those words. But I didn't take it in a negative way. Yeah. I actually used it to better myself and to motivate myself. Because you are going to find those people who are going to discourage you or give you a negative remark. And if ever you listen to them, I'm telling you, you are going nowhere.
So when she said it's not nice, did you ask her what is not nice? And then went and refined or improved your product? Or you just said it's fine?
You know what? I asked her what is not nice. And she said, no, this thing, you know, the mayo, the sauce, the cream in it, it doesn't go together. Who makes this kind of sauces?
Okay.
You know, like her whole, like, and she was like, I won't say educated, but she knew her story. So for me, it became really personal. Hence, I'm still remembering this day because I was like, you know what? This sounds like a person who is educated. So I thought they would give me a negative remark. But I was like, you know what? It's either I stop or I push on. And I just soldiered ahead. And you know what? Yeah. And I'm here today.
So it's called constructive criticism. Okay. So what were some of the challenges rolling out? So once you knew you've got a product, you can adapt it and you can make it into three component products. The issue is getting it into the stores. So how do you go about getting retail space, putting your product on the shelves?
That's a long process. Now you have to go into the head offices of the retailers. And because with me, it took me almost 5 years actually to achieve eventually. Get the retailers. It really took me a long time because I just didn't know where to start. I didn't know who to contact. So I just kept on going, like example, Pick and Pay. I kept on going to Kensington, the head office is knocking until someone referred me to someone, referred me to Cape Town. That's where I actually got my breakthrough.
Okay.
From Joburg, yeah.
But 5 years, that's a long time.
It is. It was so frustrating and I didn't give up.
And what were some of the things, you know, what were some of the rigorous requirements? Because I know that many retailers are going to have issues around health and safety. They're going to want certification from the food board, those sorts of things that you have to have the permits to prove that everything is above board.
Yeah, it happened to me also. After 3 years, I thought I got contact, and the guy said to me, "Do you have your certification in place?" But I was like, "What's that?" Because I had no idea about certificate. Then the guy explained to me, "You need your SAP, you need your HSSC," and then now I had to go research what are those. Hence, maybe it took me such a long time to get to where I am because I didn't have a clue about certification. So I had to research, and they were like, where are you working from? I said, from my kitchen. They were like, no, that's not where I work. You need to get a place, set it up, et cetera, then, it was just a hassle.
Okay, but eventually you got there. So in all of this time, you learned something. What did you learn about yourself as an entrepreneur?
I learned that anything that I want, I can get. You know, for me to be where I am today, I proved to myself that anything that I put myself to doing, I can actually do. Because to get to where I am, I keep on telling people that now I had no connection. I didn't have a brother or a president or whoever who can connect me. So everything I had to learn by myself and do by myself, meaning that if you put your mind to something, you can actually achieve it. Right. That's what I learned about myself. Yeah.
When we started, you say you named your company New Dawn, New Era because you were in a difficult space financially. You were at the end of your tether and you had no cent to your name. So you had to build a business with all that you had, your creativity and a few bottles of mayo peri sauce at home. How did you then grow your capital base after that?
Truly speaking, I used mostly my profits. And I had a side hustle when I started, which gave me a little bit of revenue to be where I am today, honestly. Because truly speaking, you cannot start this business without money. You do need that little bit of money. I don't want to lie to people and say, start and you don't need money. I'll be lying or I'll be misleading people. You need money. You need.
But I think people think they need like a million. In the end, you needed what? 5,000, 10,000, 15,000?
Okay, before the certification process and stuff like that, 2,000 was enough, actually. It wasn't a lot because I bought 6 bottles to 12 bottles. You know, then I ended up buying a box of 24. Then I ended up buying 5 boxes. That's how you grow. You know, whatever came in, I didn't really use. I put it back into business. So it wasn't a lot with me. A lot became where now I started having to supply the retailers. That's where I faced challenges, actually.
Yeah, because it costs a lot to get those scientific tests done.
True. Then consultations and stuff.
All right. But here you are now, so many years later. And what are your goals? What's next?
I want to see my company with at least 20 products on the shelves.
Okay.
I want to see at least all my products being national.
Okay.
And I want to see on my product baskets, I have maize meal, I have juice, I have water. Name them. I have a lot of things. I have yogurt, I have inkomasi, I have milk. So I have such a lot of product range that I want to bring into the market, actually. And I'm not working alone with those products. Some products I'm actually working with other young entrepreneurs who are good in making maybe yogurt. And mean, I'll come on the business side of the business where, guys, this is how you should do it. And I'll take the product and put it under my company as well, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so a few acquisitions coming, lots of mentorship and growth. We love the story of a young entrepreneur and we love your energy. Nwako Sebola, founder and CEO of Sharjah Food Company. Listen, please get in touch with our former governor. To show him how the Sharjah Mayo can help his tinned fish and rice. Come on, do it for a brother.
No, I'll definitely do that on Twitter, don't worry.
Nwako Sebola, founder and CEO of Sharjah Food. It's been the Thursday edition of Power Talk. We'll see you again tomorrow. Thank you so much for your time.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.